We're back.
Popping.
If you just heard those little ads in between, we decided to go for a bit of a deep dive. And we found our old 2018 World Cup vignettes.
From
pre-2018 World Cup.
Yeah.
About 3 years old now.
Crazy to think about.
Yeah. What's happened to the world since then? Too much.
Too much.
But yeah, so we just decided, if you missed out, you weren't listening to FNR back then, you heard the dulcet tones of Ticker's own Rick D'Andrea.
Ticker.
Former host of Afternoons on FNR with Adriano Del Monte, who's actually at the Euros. He's covering it for Optusport.
He was on bloody Optus.
Yeah. He was on. He was at the game between Italy and Turkey and was also at the Netherlands, the Dutch.
Yep.
Deutsch was up against the Ukraine and went out.
Who won that game?
The Deutsch.
Yeah, good on him.
The Deutsch. Josh Parrish joining us. Josh.
The Deutsch would be Germany, surely.
Yeah, Deutsch, but schmuck on a bunker.
Netherlands won the game against
Netherlands.
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 Yeah. Yeah. Denzel Dumfries. Schmuck on a pancake.
I am so concerned in the direction that you're taking this.
Anyways, it's been a big few days. Like, lots of sleep lost in between games, you know, for you especially, Josh.
Lots of sleep caught up on.
Yeah. When did you wake up, Josh, man?
3 p.m.
3 p.m.
3 p.m.
I woke up initially very, very early because there were, I don't know what was going on out the back of my apartment. There was some sort of oil drilling or something.
Oil?
Drilling for oil in Hawthorn.
It was that loud. It was that loud.
Geez.
So I had a very early wake up. That went on for about half an hour. And then I went back to sleep and looked at my phone when I woke up. 2:58.
That explains why Hawthorn is so affluent.
Yeah.
They've got oil.
Vast oil reserves.
I think they were digging for a cave.
They're looking for the cave.
They're looking for Ben Homer.
Hawthorn's actually going to host the 2030 World Cup as a result.
So. Yeah, essentially. Yes.
A little FIFA bribe. Yes.
We bribe them.
It's been pretty fun, the Euros so far. I've loved it. I mean, I was lucky enough to head down to Ligon on Saturday morning as part of the first game, down at Cafe Notturno to watch Italy versus Turkey.
Is that by yourself?
Went with a few mates.
Yeah, lovely. All Italian?
All Italian. Every Italian, nice. Like, there were a lot of people. I can't say, but it was definitely 50 people.
Yeah, 50.
I could say 50 exactly.
That's a lot. That's
50
a lot.
On the dot. As COVID restrictions permit, 50 people allowed 50. Inside a restaurant, as we all know.
Mm.
And it was absolutely popping off. So that was great fun. It was a great win for Italy to kick it all off. The second morning was marred, I think, fair to say.
Oh, absolutely.
With the Christian Eriksen incident. We wish him all the best here at everyone here at FNR. Hope that he's all good, and I guess first foremost, we just hope that he can, you know, he can start to obviously focus on just getting himself right before he even thinks about even getting back to playing any form of football.
Mm.
And then obviously the last two nights we've seen big results. And let's start off with, I guess, first of all, the big one was Scotland this morning, the last night, because the goal of the tournament was scored for a man that we love, Josh, only because of one moment in history, which I went back and listened to this morning, and he never actually said it. It's the Mandela effect, where he never actually said, Richard Whittle, the CDR commentator, said, Patrick Schick! All he said was, Schick! And that was it. And then this morning, Patrick Schick, like, went full beast mode.
Yeah, he did.
And he put David Marshall in a spin, as that meme was of Spider-Man putting him in a web.
Mm.
Literally that. What a goal.
Anyone named David Marshall is not a fast man.
No, he's very slow.
Very slow.
I didn't feel the goalkeeper was responsible for that at all.
There's nothing you could have done.
The rare halfway goal where you cannot actually blame the goalkeeper.
It was just hit so well.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, he bloody piped
it. There's that
it.
Amazing Getty Images photo from behind Schick as he shoots. Mm. It's obviously taken from behind the Czech goal. And the ball is so far wide and so high in the top corner of the photo, and the goal is all the way over the other side of the frame, and you just think, it's like that Papa Cisse moment for Newcastle against Chelsea. Like, how does the ball curve that far and that fast?
Yeah.
Even over that distance, it is absolutely unbelievable.
Well, if you ask Dr. Brenton Speed on Twitter about why it was curved so wide, you'll know that 95% of the time, that's how they kick the ball.
Yeah,
thank you, Brent. Thank you, Brenton, for that.
Thank you, Speedy.
Thank you, Speedy.
Actual former professional footballers disagreeing with him in the quote tweets. That was interesting.
Who would know more about football? A commentator who's commentated the game for, I don't know how long he's been commentating, well, 75 years?
This is the second time that Brenton Speed's been called out about this. Last year during the A-League restart,
he got told off by Bozza as well. You're the commentator and I'm the expert.
Yeah. So I think Speedy just Park it a bit, mate.
Calma.
I think we're glass houses here for the three of us.
We never claim to know anything about the game.
But in terms of the actual game itself, Lockie is very sad about
it. He's a sad boy.
Because Scoose, this was the game. If Scotland were going to make the next round as like a third place team even, they had to win this game. And the fact they lost 2-0, not just 2-0, but the 2-0 in Glasgow makes it even worse. Like, the fans were going nuts.
Yeah.
They were excited. They thought, this is it. We've waited so long for this moment. But they lost in the most Scottish way possible.
It was funny. I was about to tweet something about how stirring the rendition of Flower of Scotland a cappella was in the stands. And then literally as I was about to send the tweet, I looked up and Patrick Schick scored from the halfway line. And I went, well, I guess the home advantage didn't really count much there.
Now, how good is the trade deal the Socceroos did in terms of this, right? Harry Soutar, Martin Boyle had the chance to play for Scotland, right?
Yeah.
And they decided to play for Australia. But all Australia lost was Lyndon Dykes. And Lyndon Dykes was not that great this morning.
He had a shock.
He had a bad, bad day. Bad day at the office.
He works hard. The boy works hard.
He looks like Slim Shady.
We should have asked Vince about him because he's, you know.
A Gold Coast boy?
Gold Coast boy.
Yeah, he does. He looked like, for me, you couldn't take the Gold Coast out of him. Like, you can take the man out of Gold Coast, but you can't take the Gold Coast out of him. When you saw him on the field, you go, you look like the kind of guy who lives in Surfers Paradise. Peroxided hair, you know, shaved. Looks like definitely he lives in Surfers Paradise.
I wouldn't want to run into him on a night out.
No, he's definitely a big boy. Not. He's a big boy, but he just couldn't put the ball in the back of the net this morning.
There was one chance that he had with his left foot, and if he puts it anywhere else, it goes in, but he put it straight at the goalkeeper. Or even not quite straight at the goalkeeper, straight at where the goalkeeper was about to be. Mm. It was almost like preternaturally easy for the goalkeeper to save that.
Don't pass it where they are, pass it where they're going to go to.
Yeah. So it was a beautiful pass. Unfortunately, it was a shot.
Just wasn't great. And I feel like for Scotland, it's a big opportunity gone missing. Because we said in the Euros pod last week, we said Czech Republic are definitely finishing bottom. Like, we all wrote them off.
They looked horrible.
Yeah, like, they looked crap. All right, I watched them against Italy in the lead-up, and they were spanked. And it wasn't just 4-0. It could have been 7 or 8.
I'm totally, totally stunned from them winning. But if you look at the XG stats, you can see that they probably shouldn't have. It was only down to the brilliance of one man.
Patrick Schick. All West Ham fans at the moment would be thinking, oh, but it was just Thomas Souček being out there. That was the difference, you know. If you ask Athos.
Vladimir Sofal, as the commentator was saying.
Sofal or Sofal, or, you know, the way it's supposed to be. Is it Sofal?
I thought it was Kufal, but anyway.
Kufal, anyways.
I've been maybe saying that wrong for the entire Premier League season.
That's fine.
But I want to argue that Scotland are potentially the most entertaining team in the tournament.
No.
Yes.
No.
It was thrilling. No. It's kind of like watching, you know, a YouTube fails compilation. Like, the ambition is so high and the results are so disappointing.
Look, they've got that. They've got that Peru about them. From 2018, but except Peru were a bit more energetic.
There are a change of pace is what I'm saying. We've seen a lot of like slow build up from the back. You know, Croatia are the worst example of that. Like, they're so patient that they weren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And Scotland are just like, screw that. Let's hit some long balls to Lyndon Dykes. Let's create some chaos. And let's make this game one of the most thrilling, exciting fixtures that we've seen in the Euro so far. I think that, you know, variety is the spice of life. And Scotland are very spicy.
Spicy Scotland.
It was a spicy Scotland performance, but they just weren't able to get the job done. And now they've got the biggest game. And to be honest, I would not be surprised if they came out and beat England.
I thought they were terrific. Apart from the lack of Polish up front, I thought Scotland were fantastic value and really showed something in this game.
Is Scotland going to be the best fourth-ranked team?
Maybe.
Like
they
ever?
They might be. They're either going to be the best fourth-ranked team or the worst third-ranked team.
And they'll still miss out, which will be absolutely great gas. And you know they'll miss out. It'll be because of Patrick Schick's halfway goal. It'll be goal difference by one.
As they should. And they can accept that. I'm sure every Scotland fan is extremely reasonable, totally willing to accept a result at face value.
Lockie.
I was going to say, is England versus Scotland the biggest game?
Oh, yeah.
I'm so 100%
that. That is Saturday 5 a.m, isn't it?
Sure is.
That is a great time slot.
That's perfect time for you.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what?
You're just waking up. You're going to bed.
I'm just going to bed at that time.
No, actually, no, you're having dinner.
that game is easily because of the way the Euros are this year in obviously played all around Europe and the game's being played. That game's actually been played at Wembley as well. So it means, because what we've seen a lot of is the away support, like whoever's not the home team, there hasn't been great away support because obviously due to COVID. this time around, because essentially he's going from Glasgow to London, it's like going from Melbourne to, what would it be, like going to Mildura?
And there are that many Scots probably living in London.
And inside, I think they allow about 20,000 inside Wembley. It's going to be popping off.
I feel like if I was having a game where I could only have 20,000 people, I would have it at a smaller venue.
No, you can't, because you'd have even less.
Yeah, it's a density limit thing.
So you're
Wembley's
right.
One of the highest
that makes sense.
Crowds because it's so cavernous.
Yeah. Well, Budapest tonight will have the highest capacity of them all because they're having full capacity for Hungary versus...
Well, Hungary just is pretending that COVID doesn't exist. Yeah. It's been the policy from day one. So.
But to be honest,
why are they
well,
playing games there?
Because Hungary
because
were a host city.
And the Euros are managed by UEFA, and UEFA care about revenue. So,
yeah. As you saw with Azerbaijan hosting a game inside that 70,000 seat stadium, there was maybe 6,000 people in there for Wales versus Switzerland. Like, I watched the mini match for that, and I'm like, this looks like just depressing because it's this huge stadium, and they could probably fit 20,000 plus in there. But there was like a pocket of Wales fans and this tiny pocket of Switzerland fans on the other side. And it just did not look right.
No.
It did not look right. I want to talk about some of the other big teams that have gone through this tournament so far. And let's go back a little bit and let's talk a little bit about the Italians. We have to, guys. We have to.
Aussie Hairs is asking the big question of why Josh and I weren't invited to your Italian fiesta.
You guys could have come down.
I know we couldn't. There were 50 people there.
And no one knew what was going on.
It's capacity.
It was funny because I was actually out the night before and I checked my phone before I went to bed and I saw Lockie said, oh, I want to have, as long as Nick's on Zoom and when I'm watching the game, I'm like, Lockie, I'm not going to be on Zoom, mate.
I'm not going to be on Zoom.
I'm going to be at Ligon. But talking about the Italians, the most exciting thing for me out of that game was the fact that Italy have completely ditched the old stereotype of playing Catenaccio defensive football and they went for it. Like Turkey, I remember Euros pod and I felt so much vindication that Turkey lost because I had to listen to everyone say, no, Turkey's going to win. Turkey's going to win. Josh, you were one of them. You said Turkey were going to win. They were deplorable. They sat back. They offered nothing going forward.
Oh, we knew they were a defensive team.
Yeah, but going forward in transition, they offered nothing.
They were really bad. I think the lack of ambition was quite striking. They weren't that negative in qualifying. They actually were quite good in transition. Look, I think Cengiz Under was a good play to bring on. But to bring off Yafizi, Yusuf Yafizi. I always struggle
Yusuf
with that one.
Yusuf
it's a bit of a tongue twister. But to bring him off, the only midfield player who looked capable of putting a foot on the ball and playing a forward pass and actually giving them a little bit of a foothold and control in the game, to bring him off for Under at halftime and leaving Hakan Çalhanoğlu, who had a disaster class, who just dropped an absolute turd of performance in that fixture, I thought was absolutely ridiculous, and Senol Güneş has a lot to answer for.
I was sitting there with some Milan fans and I was just looking at them laughing because Çalhanoğlu is out of contract at the moment. He wants like $8 million a year and he's on like $4 million at the moment, right? And I was just laughing, thinking, Paolo Maldini's watching this right now, just with a glass of wine going, I have told you so. This is why we were only offering you like $5 million because you're going to drop in performances like that. But Italy were great value, especially after halftime. Once the game opened up, once they got that first goal, they blitzed them. And even in the first half, they probably should have been up. There was some great save on Chiellini's header. But as well, you know, just seeing Italy lock the ball in their half, they created great opportunities. The way that they've gone with that front three now, Immobile, Insigne and Berardi, they looked fantastic. Locatelli, Spinazzola on that left-hand side as well, really exciting. You know what? I know that I'm Italian and I might be biased, but genuinely, I think when you look at all the performances from match day one, they were definitely right up there with one of the most impressive.
I think there's a bit of working backwards from the result here, though, because Turkey was so disappointing and the game completely changes once Italy score the first goal.
But do Switzerland and Wales
pose much... Because remember how frustrated you were in the first half?
It was frustrating, but...
All the play was funneled down the left-hand side through Spinazzola and Insigne. They didn't have anything through the middle, and that's why I think... Immobile, even though he scored and he showed his quality in those kind of poaching scenarios, he's pretty limited up front. And I think against better teams, Immobile will struggle to be involved whatsoever.
But the thing is, Immobile thrives against teams that are playing that are going to attack you, right? Because he plays better in transition. So in those sort of games, say they play Belgium, right? Or play one of those teams who are actually going to take the game to Italy, Immobile would thrive in those scenarios. If you're playing a team like, we don't know, like Switzerland we saw the other day, they took the game right to Wales, right? Maybe against Wales, that could be a dead rubber for Italy because they could already be through. So against Wales, you know, Switzerland probably be a bit more progressive.
Italy are going to be fine in the group stage, but I think once they come up against better opposition, we'll get a better idea of where they're actually at.
That's fair enough, but I'm impressed.
That was a good first game, good first performance.
Very, very impressed.
You know, it's a positive start for Italy, of course. But I just want to see how they go against a team that will sit back against them, but actually has something to stretch them on the other end and doesn't just, you know, basically surrender the entire, 90% of possession.
Yeah, well, it's good to see Italy were actually on the front foot for a change and not playing as defensive, because we've been accustomed to that for God knows how long, even before I've been alive or any of us have been alive. It's been the hallmark of their game for so long.
I think Switzerland will be an instructive game.
Yeah,
because Mbolo looks very, very dangerous on the break, and they've got some midfielders who can actually pass the ball.
Yeah, but Italy's defence is a lot better than Wales.
I still think they're going to beat Wales, and they probably will beat Switzerland as well, but I think that's going to be a better barometer for where they are on Thursday morning.
Where were you watching the game, Nick?
What was that?
Where will you be watching the
game?
Not
sure yet. On Thursday. I've already told, because my mates who have organised it have already asked for spots, and I said, put me down, but I'm not sure what I'm doing yet. It'll either be from home or at the Tottenham. We'll see how we go.
Lygon Street Cafe isn't offering you, you know, $3 million over 2 years to come sign with them.
Not yet.
No?
Not yet. Let's take a quick break, guys. We'll jump back into some more Euros chat in a sec. Plenty more to get into. Copa America as well. Even as well, we've got A-League finals just around the corner as well. A bit of COVID chaos going on.
Some elimination finals on the weekend. Let's not forget about those. Yeah. Terrific game between Brisbane and Adelaide.
A lot's been happening. Let's take a quick break. We're back in a second.